Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to be looking at all 51 verses today. So just settle back, get comfortable, because we may be here for a while. Not really. You know, one thing we learned in school years ago, that a preacher needed to be ready to do two things at a moment's notice: die or preach. And I didn't really take that instruction to heart. I think I was ready to die. I know the Lord. I'm prepared to meet him. But I neglected the second part, always having a message ready. And our church there in California was a smaller church, about half this size. And at that time, my dad was the pastor. I was his assistant. I was song leader. I was administrator of the school. I was a janitor. Small churches, you know, you get the opportunity to fill in. And one Sunday morning, our choir would come in from the back foyer when it was time for the choir, for the service to start. And we were all lined up there. I was ready to give the signal, let's go. My mom came rushing up to me, usually a calm lady. Not so. "Dean, you've got to preach today." Always be ready at a moment's notice to be able to preach. "I don't have anything." Always be ready at a moment. Well, I was ready for children's church. We were going to be marching around the walls of Jericho for six straight days, not saying a thing. And then on that seventh day, you know how that goes. And I looked at my audience and we acted things out in junior church. We didn't just sit there and talk about marching. We marched. All this marching is making me thirsty. I'm going to try put that there and hopefully I don't knock it off. And I didn't know what I was going to say. And I kept thinking back to that advice, be ready to preach. Come on. And I was trying to figure out how to make the Battle of Jericho into something relevant for someone that's 85 years old. And since I directed the songs, I could slow things down because I wanted to kill as much time as possible. And being a good Baptist, we always sang the first, second, and fourth verses. Well, that day I went liberal. We sang every verse as slow as we could sing it. Now you're rushing on that verse. Let's go a little slower. We gave announcements. I gave announcements about everything. It was March. We were already talking about the Christmas program. Trying to drag this stuff. How am I going to make that into a message? Last song. Sweat and bullets, praying as I'm directing music. And four verses, last verse, slow as could be. And I'm thinking, I am doomed. And in walks my dad. Oh, he made it back. He wasn't able, I forgot to tell you this, he was on the phone with someone that was threatening to commit suicide. And he couldn't leave him. So give it to Dean. Let him threaten to commit suicide. I don't know. But I learned a lesson that day. I tell you, I am always to have a message ready to go. I've told Pastor Gray that. If you ever need me, we're ready. So when he called several weeks ago and asked if I would fill in for one of the services, I said, I would be glad to, but I'm not going to the sermon I have ready in my back pocket. I had 3 weeks, so I said, I need the Lord to direct me to a sermon that will be a blessing to us all and blessing to me. And that's why we're looking at 2 Samuel 22 for our passage this morning. In fact, the passage we have before us is actually a Psalm of David. Some theologians believe that this was the last psalm that David wrote. We do know that the song is a song of his old age. Several things we're forgetting up here. First, I'm blind. Oh, there are the notes. A song of his old age, and what we find here is a song of joy, a song of victory, a song of praise. But what a life David has lived. He was a shepherd, a soldier, a king, a singer, and yes, a sinner. He was known as the son of Jesse. He was called David the King. In Acts chapter 13, he's described as a man after God's own heart. And of course, many places described as the sweet psalmist of Israel. But perhaps during those long days there in the palace, as he's living out a peaceful retirement, David begins to reflect back on his life and all that God had done for him over all those years. David has achieved greatness, no doubt about that. He was a mighty king, ruling over a great kingdom, and his kingdom is finally at peace. God's given him victory over every enemy that he faced. And I want us to look at verse 1 of our passage here. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And so David here reflects and where God had found him there on those Judean hillsides. And remember what he remembers what God has done in all the intervening years and how God had been with him every step of the way. So David takes his pen and begins to write the words that we have in this psalm. Now, you may think we go to Psalms to find psalms. Well, this is a psalm, and it's very similar to Psalm 18, also written by David. A few words are different. A phrase here and there is different. Pretty much the same passage. But reading this song is like reading all of David's psalms wrapped into one. And so as David writes about this walk with the Lord, he provides for us some insights into our walk with the Lord as well. We're reminded who God is. We're reminded of what God does for us as children. And so this morning, as we examine this great song, I hope we can get a glimpse of the God who is worthy of praise and worthy of worship and worthy of our songs. This is David's Song of Songs. We see here that David sings of a personal relationship, verse 2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." Do you see it there? The personal possessive pronoun. Or the possessive personal pronoun, or the pronoun, I don't know what order, it's been too long. But we see that he's talking about a personal possession that he has. And David, we see here, doesn't just know about God, he knows God intimately. He knew God for himself. over in Psalms 18, verse 1, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. We're not talking about a casual relationship. I serve God, sort of. No, it's not that at all. I wonder if we have the kind of personal relationship that David speaks of here in this passage. Remembering it's not enough to know about him. And our desire is that we know him in a very personal way. To have that kind of personal relationship and to be able to say, I know my God, he's mine. He's mine. To be in that place where the Lord is without a doubt, our Lord, our God, our Savior, or personally, my Lord, my God, my Savior. This is the personal relationship of which David sings. He sings of a powerful relationship. Again, verse 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence. Let's read on. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Isn't that powerful? David learning, I can call on the Lord. He will hear me. He will answer me. David knows the Lord as his Savior. He knows him as his personal sanctuary. And we see in these verses how David turns to the Lord in times of trouble. He tells us that God is a rock, speaking of stability. He is our shield, talking about protection. He's our fortress, safety. He's the horn of salvation. We're talking about security there. He's my supply, our provision, by referring to it as a high tower. He's my refuge, my sanctuary. He's my Savior. What a powerful testimony that David gives here. David's saying that the Lord is all he needs in times of trouble. And when trouble came, David knew, I need to go to the Lord. You know, some have said facetiously, why pray when you can worry? You know, and sometimes prayer seems to be something of last resort. And that shouldn't be for the Christian. If God is our personal Savior, prayer should be the very first thing we do when we're facing times of trouble. And God heard his prayer and delivered it. Now, there are many times in David's life when the gates of the cities of men were closed to him. There are times when he couldn't go to Jerusalem, when he couldn't get to the Lord's tabernacle. But even when the cities of man were closed to him, offering no help, no hope, David had the confidence that the gates of heaven were always open to him. And he had the privilege of going directly to the throne of grace with his request. You know, we have that same privilege. I'm so glad we live in New Testament times. I'm glad we don't have to sacrifice sheep here. I wouldn't want to do that. I'm glad we don't have to go through a priest to get to God. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, we now have direct access to the throne of God. Now, David had that, but this was something that wasn't necessarily built in every day. For us, it is. What a privilege. I'm sure Old Testament saints, if they could see the access that we have, would say, wow, do they really understand what a blessing and what a joy that is? You know, sometimes when we're surrounded by blessings, we may not really understand how blessed we are. I was talking to Brother Ken Kirby the other day. We both ministered in California. And I was just talking about the music in this church. I said, I wonder if the people here realize how blessed we are. I tell you, I look up here at the piano and it seems like there's another pianist every time I look around. And the regulars up here, what a blessing. And folks, I hope you understand, that's not normal in most churches. God has blessed us in a wonderful way, and let's never lose sight of that. But David here is saying the Lord is all he needs when troubles come. And David has confidence that he can go directly to his Lord, who is open to his cry. Verse 7, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. When David cried out, God heard him, moved in power to help him. And what a joy we have to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We all should realize that this kind of a blessing to all those who know the Lord is a tremendous blessing. We're to enjoy that blessing. His ears are always open to our cry. I remember the passage over in Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In other words, I'm going to answer your prayer far and above what you are asking because I know your needs. Isaiah in Isaiah 65:24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God already is answering our prayer even before we finish the prayer. What a great God we have. And we have our loving Father inviting us to flee to him in that time of trouble. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Isn't that a wonderful word? Rest in Jesus Christ. I tell you, we live in a tumultuous days, do we not? And you end up talking to somebody as you're standing in line at Walmart. What a strange thing to do. Wow. Always happens. And by the way, an excellent place to witness. But you can hear people just complaining, oh, these gas prices, inflation. You know, I can't buy my sugar pops without taking out a loan. You know, things like that. You know, as Christians, we don't need to get uptight about that. And it's an excellent opportunity to say, you know what? In Jesus Christ, we don't have to get uptight about these things because it's all in his hands. And they'll look at you like you're a crazy person. But to be able to share the gospel, because as Christians, we have the peace that passeth all understanding, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Oh, there are times we should get a little concerned, but we're told be anxious or be careful for nothing. God's in charge. He invites us to flee to him in our hour of power, our hour of trouble, not hour of power. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer or allow the righteous to be moved, to be defeated, fallen, shaken. We have the promise that when we flee to the Lord, we're going to find him to be all that David declares him to be. He truly is all we need. And so David sings of this personal relationship that he has. He sings of a powerful relationship. And he sings of a profound relationship. Notice verse 8. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. And there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a devouring fire went out of his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He parted the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them. His lightning flashed and vanquished them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the earth were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Speaking of God's wrath against the enemies of God's people. But then note the testimony of God's grace. Verse 17. And he sent from above, he took me and drew me out of the many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me, and get this, because he delighted in me. That's a precious statement. Did you get it? David here goes into great detail as he speaks how the Lord moved against the enemies. The Lord moved in power. He tells us that God worked with a miraculous power. But why did God do this? Because he delighted in David. God blessed David. He protected him. He sustained him. All because God loved him and took pleasure in relationship to David. And you want to know something? He takes the same pleasure in his relationship with each one of us here today. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If so, he takes great delight in answering your prayers, of blessing you. And God is a God who sustains. Verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, has he recompensed me. And let me stop. Are red flags going up? Stay with me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. Wait a minute. Keep reading. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed, I'll get it. Hang with me. Getting tired here. Me according to thy righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the mercy that thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure wilt thou show thyself pure, and with the froward, that means crooked or devious, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. In other words, with the devious, the Lord in his presence is bitter. tortuous. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but mine eyes are upon the haughty, the proud, that thou mayest bring them down. David here tells us that God's enabled him to remain true and keep his word. But the red flag I was talking about, some may be thinking, as David says, talks about his righteousness, we may be thinking, but David, you sinned a grievous sin. How can you talk about your righteousness? Well, the same way we can talk about our righteousness. We are not righteous in our own selves, our own doings. David here is talking about the imputed righteousness of a holy God. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And as we stand before a holy God, he sees that righteousness because our filthy sins have been covered and forgiven. I was sharing the gospel with an inmate up in the Gastonia County Jail. This was years ago. There were some bars between him and me. And I said, the Lord loves you. He died. And I gave him the plan of salvation. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? He's offering you this gift of salvation. And the guy said, nope. He can't forgive me. I said, of course he can. Don't you understand? I've killed 3 people. I was just a sophomore. I stepped back a few steps as I continued talking. You know what? God can forgive murder. God is a forgiving God. And we may think we're the most filthy person in the world, and we may be. But even that, God can forgive. We have a loving, forgiving God, and let's never forget that. So when David says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, he's not talking about himself. He knows he's a sinner. He knows God has forgiven him of those sins, Psalm 51. But we're talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of a holy God that envelops us when we know him as our Savior. Verse 29, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. There were many times in David's life that he had no idea what he was supposed to do, where he was supposed to go. But he had learned that God would be his guiding light. And God had revealed the next step in the path. You may recall that verse from Psalm 119, 105, a verse very familiar to us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Showing how God's word can guide us through this crazy mixed up world. That shows the importance of knowing God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We as God's people have a responsibility to immerse our lives with the truth of God's word. And that's how we will be able to have discernment with all the devices Satan tries to throw at us. God's word, so important. Often in years past, I was able to speak to children. Not only did we walk around the walls of Jericho, but this was a fun one to describe. And I'd bring a flashlight with me there at a children's church. And I said, let's pretend it's pitch black out here. We're on a path, but we don't know where this path goes. What should we do as I hold the light? Turn on your flashlight. Exactly. What does that flashlight do? It shows us the path we're supposed to be on. Does it do anything else for us? It shows us dangers along that path. It shows us where the cliff is. Stay away from that. It shows us where the jagged branches down over the path. We avoid that. God's Word does that as it acts as our guiding light through this life. But if we're not turning the flashlight on, we're going to make a mess of our walk in life. Again, verse 29, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will make light my darkness." Not only that, for us as believers, he's also given us his Holy Spirit to guide us. In the Gospel of John, verse 16, we read, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," see what it says, "he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Aren't you glad God hasn't left us blind in this world? We're not stumbling around from this truth to that truth, from this fault. God gives us clear direction through his word. We just need to trust his word. He gives us clear direction through the leading of his Holy Spirit, which is an abiding presence for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. And we need to be sensitive to the leading of that Holy Spirit. And the Bible warns us, don't quench the Holy Spirit. You need that guidance in your life. But God is so good, he has left us the roadmap we need for this life. Verse 30 says, "For by thee I have run through a troop." I like that one. We're talking about enemy army. "By my God have I leaped over a wall." We're talking about scaling the most high walls. Impossible, except if God enables. And God had enabled David to achieve victory over his many, many enemies. David had been able to lay hold of the impossible, all because God had sustained him through all these trials, whether it was a lion or a bear or a giant, whether it was a king or a soldier or a rebellious son. God had allowed David to experience great victories over every obstacle that he faced in this life. Isn't the Lord good? He sings of a God who strengthens. For the most part, David's life had been a life of warfare and conflict. But through the battles and through these problems, God had sustained him and strengthened him. And David sings about the God who strengthens. "As for God," verse 31, "his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God save or except the Lord? And who is a rock except for our God? God is my strength and power," and this is good, "and he maketh my way perfect." Not only is God's will perfect, but as we are walking in God's will, our pathway becomes perfect. What a benefit of being a child of God. In the Psalms, David says, "Daily he loadeth us with benefits." Talk about a benefits package. We as Christians enjoy the most fantastic benefits package that's ever offered. And I like it. "Daily, he loadeth." Loadeth speaks to me of overflowing. And isn't that what God does for us? What a good God we have. God had been his rock. God had lifted him out of every battle. God had prepared him, verse 35, "and teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken by my arms." Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation and thy gentleness. I had to do some study on that. And thy gentleness hath made me great. What we're talking about, gentleness, we're talking about Almighty God condescended to love man. His gentleness. This shows the great love that God has for us. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. So we see here that the Lord had taught David the art of battle. He had instructed him in the tactics necessary for victory. And these lessons had served David well. And even in the heat of the battle, when the odds were against him, David attained victory. Our time is running out, and we're only halfway through. So that's okay. We're going to make this work. As we look at verse 8 through 49, we see how God has promoted him, promoted David among his enemies, over his enemies. How God had promoted David over the inhabitants of Israel that were opposing David. And in verse 47, we see David's testimony. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God who avengeth me and bringeth down the people under me, and who bringeth me forth from my enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Notice, though, David, with all these amazing victories, is not saying, look at me. The greatest king, the greatest warrior that has ever... No. He said, I've gotten these victories, but it was God. It was God that allowed it. And folks, in our lives, as we are blessed of God, and as we can see our lives, for lack of a better word, our lives improving, we don't make that an opportunity to boast, not in ourselves. Make it an opportunity to boast in the Lord. Because God is the one that enables us to live a victorious life. But I think of David taken from that place of obscurity, and now we see, and we didn't read all the verses here, that he is definitely over all in his kingdom. All the other people of the other kingdoms tremble at the thought of David and obey him when he gives a command. And it was God that had put him in that place. But the God who strengthened David is the same God who strengthens each of us, folks. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But now thanks be unto God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Romans 8:31, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" The rhetorical question. If you're on the Lord's side, you're the majority, as a great man once said. In Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Praise the Lord. He has already won the victory over sin. We are possessors of that victory. And so when we see the mess of our society surrounding us, we don't have to despair. We can say, it's in God's hand. And ultimately, he's the victor. Regardless of what we face, Know that the God of David is the same God we worship, and he has won this victory. Verse 47, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Remember that very sad time when David had fallen into sin. And we've already mentioned Psalm 51. But David's plea in that psalm, he had lost all joy. It was a terrible time for him. And he prays out to God, restore unto me. Do you remember what it says? The joy of thy salvation. I tell you, the most miserable person is a Christian that's not walking with the Lord. God doesn't want us to be miserable. God wants us to be rejoicing, just as we see David rejoicing, because the victory has already been won. The God that we worship is sovereign over all things. And regardless what the day may bring, David knows that he's safe in God's tower of salvation. And so here in his retirement, David looks back over all the years of his life, and he has seen a God that never forsook him, never failed him. My friends, we can have the same confidence in the God we serve. We just need to learn to trust his word. We need to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Again, these are tumultuous days. But as Christians, we don't have to be tossed to and fro. We can be steady, grounded upon the word of God. Don't lose hope. God's on the throne. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we are in that place where we can lift our voices and praise unto you. That we are in that place where you can guide us and use us. And Father, we pray that we might not lose sight of the blessings that are ours through Jesus Christ. That we might be living a life that is victorious, not because of our own strength and wisdom, but because of what you have done. And Father, we pray that we might be living a life of victory because of our great God. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name.